Our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 5, verses 22, 23, and 24. Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. This is the first time we find this term in the Bible where it says someone walked with God. I think we have to say that's somewhat special, to walk with God. What is he saying there? Well, you know, we go back to Genesis and we see God walking in the garden. But I think this was different. I don't think it was quite like that. It has a very special significance, no doubt. One man said that he walked in the name and the fear of God. He walked according to the will of God. He walked in the commandments of God and in the ordinances of God as God had made it known to him. So I think that all of that goes into that. In other words, walking with God is not like running down the street with a friend. It means a combining, a fellowship that we want to talk about this morning. I think that we all could admit here that there is one thing that's necessary in order to have a closer communion with God. We talked about that a month ago, and we said that was, anybody remember? Desire. In other words, you have to want it. God's not going to force His way into your life. If you want to have a relationship with God, God will be there for you. But if you don't want to have a relationship with God, then that's not going to happen. How many of you are going to watch the Super Bowl today? Nobody's going to watch the Super Bowl today? Let's get serious. Well, there are still some tickets available. We can get you in at the 300 level end zone, upper level corner for a mere $3,300. Now, if you'd like to be on the field and club level between the 20 and the 50 yard line, we can get you that for only $4,350. Now, you know, a guy'd have to want to watch football really bad to pay that kind of money. What do you think, huh, Bill? You can buy a lot of stuff for $4,000. So you got to really want it. You know, there are things in life that some people really want. And so they go after it. Let me ask you a question. Would you pay $4,000 to have a visit with God? Would you spend 40 minutes to have a visit with God? Well, you see, God's not for sale. You don't have to buy a ticket. But it does kind of help us understand our priorities, doesn't it? God wants to have a relationship with us. As a matter of fact, God is the initiator in this thing of communion, fellowship between His creatures and Himself. He's the initiator. When God created Adam and Eve, every evening, God would show up in the garden. That's what it says. Adam and Eve didn't have to go looking for God. Adam and Eve didn't say, "Oh, well, we better go find God." No, God found them. See, that's the major difference between Christianity and every other world religion. Every other world religion is man's attempt to find God or find out God. Christianity exposes God seeking out men, women, boys and girls. So God is the initiator in all this. Enoch walked with God 300 years. And then God took him home. One fellow said one time, he said, well, what it was is God and Enoch were walking and God said, well, we're really closer to my place than we are yours. I don't know. You know, I thought of things that might be written on my tombstone. He walked with God would not be a bad thing, would it? He walked with God. To be a person known as a person who walked with God. But you have to realize something. If you're going to do that, you've got to have a, what? Desire. It's not going to happen automatically. Not going to happen automatically. It says so. Noah walked with God. And Noah was the one that God used to save the human race from His judgment. You see, when Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, a great prayer. You want to see the real Lord's prayer? Turn to John 17. And in John 17, Jesus prays. He said, Father, I want them to be with me where I am. You see, God is the initiator. God wants us to be with Him. And someday, all of His people will be. And we will ever be with the Lord. Isn't that what Paul said? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. primarily because we're going to have an unbroken fellowship with God. And you see, a lot of people get messed up in their thinking. Have you ever had those people that did something nice for you and you were wondering? What were you wondering? You're wondering, what do they want? What do they want? What are they up to? You see, God's not like that. You don't have to worry about what God's up to. God doesn't want, you know, people have a strange idea about giving. They think God wants their money. God's not concerned about your money. God doesn't want your money. He wants you. That's what God wants. He wants you. Because you see, if He has you, then He has all of you, lock, stock, and barrel. And God wants us. He wants to have communion with us. He wants to bless us. Now, there are those people that think when God blesses us, you can count it up on a cash register. But that's not necessarily God's blessing. Because there's a lot of people that's got a lot of money in the bank, but they're not really all that happy. You see, I think that God blesses us when He gives us a purpose in life. When we wake up in the morning and we know why we're here. When we realize that God has put us in this world and we understand what it is about. You realize the number of millions of people, billions of people, who can't wake up with that. I think that God blesses us when He gives us fulfillment in our life. Because there are so many people who are doing so many things. Making millions of dollars playing baseball or football or basketball, and yet they think their life is ruined, pointless, without purpose. They have no fulfillment. But you see, God can give you fulfillment. God can give you those things that no one else can. And then He can give you eternal joy. You know, most of the joy of this world lasts for a short time, doesn't it? Matter of fact, there's a verse over in Proverbs that talks about the joy of the fool endures for a moment. It doesn't last very long. A lot of people are going to get really happy tonight. But tomorrow morning will be a different story. God can give us eternal joy. God can give you a joy that you don't need anything artificial to get you up. You can just be up. God has the ability to do that for us. That's the blessings I think that God wants to give us. But then, as I thought about this, I thought about, well, what does that look like? Remember me telling you when I was at Alcoa, there was this consultant that always come by and you never wanted to have an idea. That didn't do you any good. Because if you ever had an idea, you would say something. And of course, all of our ideas are what? All of our ideas are somewhat abstract. Let's do this. And he would always have a question. He would say, what would that look like? And then you're going, kind of like the kids up here. Well, I'm only a kid. How am I supposed to know the answer to that question? What would that look like? Well, what would it look like to walk with God? What would it look like to have communion with God? What does it look like to have fellowship with God? And so as I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, it would look like best friends. You know that? Have you ever seen those people who are best friends? I mean, you know they're best friends because you never see one with what? Without the other one. They're always there. It's a pair. If they're not neighbors, when they get to school, that's the first thing they're looking for is to find the other person. And they are with one another day in, day out. For about 4 years, I worked with this guy and we became pretty good friends. But it was a work situation, you know. He lives in Trivoli, and I'm not driving to Trivoli to see him. I did that once. But anyway, but one person asked me one time, he said, you know, you worked with this guy for 4 years. I said, what do you talk about? I said, we always find something to talk about. Best friends don't never get bored with one another. Best friends enjoy one another's company. They are inseparable. Now, you say, wait a minute. Is it possible to have that type of relationship with God? Absolutely. I think that that's what it's talking about when it says Enoch walked with God. I mean, Enoch didn't say, I'm going to meet with God tonight when I go to bed and I'm going to say my prayers. I don't think that was it. I mean, I think Enoch got up in the morning and said, good morning, Lord. I know some of you guys get up and you say, good Lord, it's morning. But Enoch got up, he said, good morning, Lord. And he spent the day with God. 300 years. You get that? Enoch walked with God 300 years. And God never got boring. God will never get boring. You give God a chance. You spend time. You begin to study in God's Word and spend time in prayer, and I'll guarantee you'll never get bored with God. You can't get bored with God. So I think it's kind of like best friends. That's the way I envision it. How else? What else would that look like? I think it looks like grandchildren who light up when grandma or grandpa come home, come by. You know that? Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing? You know, you couldn't hardly stand your own kids, but your grandkids, you know, as one fellow said, that's the only reason why you'd want to have kids is so you could have grandkids. There's some truth to that. You know, there is a bond between grandchildren and their grandparents. That just, it's not explainable. You know, I think part of it is because, you know, grandparents, we get to spoil them and then send them home. So it's, that makes it easier. But there's, I think that's the relationship. We don't come to God as an equal because we're not equal with Him. We don't come to God in that idea of best friends is that we're you know, I've got some ideas for you, God, and this is what you ought to do. That's not the idea. You know, it's more of a relationship where we come to God and God's like, you know, a grandfather or a grandmother that we want to be with. I mean, you tell the kids we're going to go to grandma's house. They don't say, oh, no, not again. At least my grandkids don't. I think that's what it looks like. And then, I don't know, I went to bed last night and I was thinking about this still, and I thought of a couple of things, but it kind of vanished into the ether of the night. But I thought walking with God would be like, it would look like a couple who is still dating. You remember that far back, folks? You remember that far back? You know, as Gary Chapman says, you know, I mean, those folks really, you know, they didn't think you'd go to the restaurant to eat. They thought you went there for something else. A couple, not married yet, because something happens after you get married, doesn't it? But you know what? You know, when you're dating, do you talk about things? Oh, absolutely. You talk about everything. I mean, if you don't get to see them for, you know, 5 or 6 hours, you have to update them on everything that's happened in that 5 or 6 hours, plus, you know, everything else. I mean, there's this constant communication going on. I mean, you're sharing and you're taking everything in that they're giving you, and you're giving back, and there's just this constant thing going on. I think that when Enoch walked with God, it was like that. Enoch didn't have appointed times of prayer where he finally, you know, well, I'm going to put everything else aside and I'm going to spend this time with God. Enoch was spending all the time with God. It was like God was there with him every day, every hour, every minute. And Enoch didn't say, well, I'm going to, this afternoon later on, me and God are going to talk about that. I mean, if he needed to talk to God, he talked to God right now. No waiting. You know, couples that are dating, they can't seem to be together too much. Have you ever noticed that? It's your mother who thought you were together too much. But isn't that true? I mean, you can't be together too much. God is calling us, folks, to that type of relationship. He wants us to be a part of every... He wants to be a part of every minute of every day of our lives. He wants always to be there. I mean, even when we're doing something that takes a lot of attention and something else, He wants to be there in the background, that we understand that at any moment, we understand that He's there and that He's there to hear us. He's there to hear our prayers. He's there to hear our cries, whatever it might be. That's what God is looking for in a relationship with us. But you know, things don't always work out the way we thought they should. A lot of times there's hindrances, aren't there? Hindrances. I've been trying to lose weight. I tell you what, if I try any harder, I'm going to get so fat, I'm going to have to get a scale that says, I'm going to have to get two scales, one for each foot. But I heard the problem. I found out the solution this morning. I was listening to the radio, and I found out if you're gaining too much weight, you're probably not getting enough sleep. So that's my problem. I just need to sleep more. Things don't work out sometimes like you had planned. Hindrances. You know, don't take wrong what I'm going to say, okay? I don't want to make anybody angry. I just want to be truthful. Sometimes we don't talk to God because we really don't think we need God. I mean, isn't that the case? Now, if we get the wrong call from the doctor and the test didn't turn out the way we thought they should, or somebody else, something else happens, then we need God. But, you know, we don't need Him if we're healthy. I mean, if I'm doing well and I feel good, and I don't need God. I mean, if I got all my bills paid and I've got a good job, I don't need to spend a lot of time with God. God's kind of like a doctor. You don't go there unless you have to. In fact, some of you folks don't go even when you have to. I know that. But that's not what God's like. God's not like the fireman at the fire station. Whenever you get in trouble, you dial 911 and they come running. That's not the type of relationship God's looking for. I mean, isn't it a shame that we have to say, you know, God has so blessed us that we don't need Him anymore? Kind of funny how our nation talked a lot about God after 9/11, but it kind of wore off, didn't it? And then some people don't want this. They don't seek this type. Remember, it takes desire. It's not going to happen automatically. You're not going to walk out of here today and automatically this is going to happen. It's something you're going to have a desire. And if you don't have a desire, then all you need to do is pray to God. God will give you the right desires. But some people don't have that type of relationship with God that they need because they just don't really see the benefit of it. I mean, if it isn't going to pay for itself, why bother? It's not worth it. It's not worth the time. Not worth the investment. It's not going to do me any good. What about our Lenten Bible study coming up here on Wednesday night? 6 weeks. Well, that's a long time, isn't it? 6 whole weeks. 6 Wednesday nights. 6 hours. And we're going to talk about spiritual maturity. Is there anyone here who could say, I'm there. Don't need any more. I took the list of all the folks that sit in these pews regularly and occasionally. And I underlined people who I thought would benefit and who might come. I underlined 39 names. Is there anybody here who thinks we'll have 39? Why? Because what am I going to get out of it? There's no cost-benefit ratio. Spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity isn't like a lot of other things, folks. God doesn't give it to you unless you desire it, unless you spend some time in it. And then another hindrance. We'd really rather do it our way. Oh, I know what the Bible says. Oh, I know I shouldn't be looking at this. I know that I shouldn't be doing this. I know I shouldn't be here. And I know I should be reading my Bible. But I'd rather do it the way I want to do it. I want to live my life the way I want to live it. Isn't that our problem? Let's get serious. Let's not lie to ourselves. Sure it is. You know, Isaiah 55:9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I think the amazing thing about Enoch is that he walked with God for 300 years because I think it changed Enoch. What do you think? I think it did. You don't spend all that time with God without it changing you. Aren't we affected by the people that we spend time with? Absolutely. If you don't believe that, why do you care who your kids run around with and your grandkids? You know that's the case. And then lastly, one of the big hindrances is that we just don't see things God's way. How many times do we say, well, I know that's what the Bible says, but... There's a little passage over in Amos. Maybe you've read it before. Amos 3:3, it says, "Can two walk together unless they are agreed?" You know, 55 years old, older than some, younger than others here. But you know, there's been a lot of people that I've had to say, I don't think I'm going to see much of them anymore. Why? Because we don't have a lot in common. Folks, if you don't have a lot in common with God, you don't want to spend much time with Him. But that's not a reflection on God. Not a reflection on God. I mean, if you go and you listen to one of Beethoven's symphonies and you think it sounds like garbage, it's not a reflection on Beethoven. It's a reflection on you. Because Beethoven has already been judged by the majority of people. If we don't want to spend time with God, it's a reflection on us, not a reflection on God. We need to say, God, I know I don't agree with everything. Let's be honest. Don't lie and say, oh, I believe everything the Bible says, and I agree with everything the Bible says. You don't. We don't. Or we would never sin. And we all sin. There's not a just person upon the earth that does good and sins not, the Scripture says. But I tell you how to solve that problem. You get closer to God. You get closer to God. And pretty soon, you know what? You're not interested in the stuff that you were interested in before. You're thinking, you know what you're thinking? You're thinking, I don't know why I ever did like that kind of stuff. I don't know why I ever did like that kind of stuff. That's what happens. Because God has that type of influence on us. God wants us to come with Him for a visit every day. He wants you to take Him with you everywhere that you go. He wants to share your burdens and to share your joys. He wants to give you wisdom so that you make the right decision. He's not a bully, though. God is not going to force His way into your life. He's not going to come in and say, "All right, I don't care. I've had enough of this. I'm taking over." It doesn't happen. You have to desire for a relationship with God. He doesn't force His way into your life. Those decisions are made by you and by you alone. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, God, help us, please. Help us desire the things that make for godliness in our lives. Help us to want to have a walk with You where we wake up in the morning and we commit our day to You. Help us, Lord, to have that type of fellowship where we can talk to You about everything, even those secret things that we don't talk to anybody about. Lord, that we can come to You and we can give You those burdens and we can say, "Please, Lord, take this away from me." Heavenly Father, I pray for each person that's here this morning. I pray for those that aren't here that I had so hoped would hear this message. God, I just pray that You would give them a desire to walk with You each day. It's in Your Son's name we pray.